All right, saints, so we are today, let me start off by saying it this way. In Philippians 4:4, the Apostle Paul, he tells the Philippians this. He says to rejoice in the Lord always. And then right after he says that, he says, again, I will say rejoice. He's being redundant. He just told him something to rejoice, and then he's going to say it again, rejoice. He's being redundant, right? He's making a point. And so I'm telling you that because I'm about to do something similar today, this morning. Today I'm going to go over something very similar. I'm going to go over a topic that I've taught on probably 3 or 4 times already. So that's why I said I'm being redundant here. I'm being redundant on what I'm going to teach on today. Just like Paul was telling the Philippians, rejoice, and then right after he tells them to rejoice, I'm going to be redundant today on the topic that I'm going to teach on this morning. And the topic that I'm going to teach on this morning is prayer. And I'm not really going to say anything new today that you probably haven't heard, but as God continues to put this word in my mind, in my heart to teach, I'm just going to keep teaching it. So this is where God has put this burden on me, just with prayer. And so that's what I'm going to do. And so today's teaching will be a hybrid. It'll be a hybrid of our continued teaching through the book of Philemon. So we will look at verse 6 today, but it's also, we're going to use verse 6 of Philemon is going to springboard us or catapult us into a topical teaching on prayer. So that's why I said it's on prayer. Yes, we're going to do the Philemon verse 6 because we didn't do it last week, but verse 6 is just going to springboard us into this very crucial and important topic that God constantly burdens me with to teach and share with other believers because it's so important to our overall happiness and joy in the Lord. And so it's prayer. And it's not just prayer in general, but what we are praying about. So not just prayer in general, but what you're praying about. And how by praying about these certain things can really add to your joy, your contentment in the Lord. So that's my goal today. Again, it's a hybrid of a teaching of Philemon, verse 6, and then it's going to springboard us to a topical teaching on a prayer. So we'll look at verse 6. So the goal is to look at verse 6 in Philemon. And when we look at verse 6, we're going to look at also I'm going to point out the various translation of this Greek word koinonia that's in verse 6. It's the word fellowship in some of your translations. And then we're going to transition from there to the topic of prayer by looking at Paul's prayer for Philemon, which will springboard us into Paul's other prayers for the other saints in other churches. So that's the plan. That's the high-level overview of where we're headed and doing today. So let's first start off with this translation issue. What I'll do, matter of fact, let's just back up, and I'll read verse 1 through 7. That's what we're going to, I'll read 1 through 7. I know we read it all last week, but I'm going to read it again. All right, the word of God reads, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved brother and fellow worker, to Appia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Remember, Philemon had a house church in his house. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Philemon is going to go into his prayer here. I thank my God always, making mention of you in my prayers, because I hear of the ear of your love and the faith which you have towards the Lord Jesus and towards all the saints. Now, here's verse 6, which we're going to dig into today. And he says, I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. Verse 7, I'm going to just read it for goodness sake. For I've come to have much joy and comfort in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. So now let's back up and let's look at 5 and 6, and let's look at this translation issue here. So in 5 and 6, right, or really you can go with 4 through 6. Paul is praying for Philemon, right? We looked at some of this last week, and he's telling Philemon, every time I go to my knees in prayer and I think about you, I begin to thank God. And I thank God because I've heard of your love and your faith towards Jesus and this love that you have towards the saints. So that is the catalyst for Paul in praying for Philemon. He's thinking about how Philemon so loves the other saints, right? And that's what we touched on last week, because he heard of his love and faith which he has towards the Lord Jesus and all the saints. But then he transitions in his prayer and he goes into verse 6. And this is where it gets a little bit difficult here. This is where it gets a little bit dicey, because verse 6, I can't say, because I can't say that I've looked at every translation of every verse in the Bible, so that would be too much of a stretch to say. But out of all of my study, I haven't seen a verse translated so differently in almost every translation that I've seen this verse here in verse 6. It just translated so differently. And so in verse 6, the word is often translated differently, and it kind of changes the flow of this verse. It's the word fellowship. So my Bible, it says, I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective. I'm reading out of the NASB, but somebody else that's not reading out of the NASB, can you just read verse 6 for me and tell me how it reads for you?
He says, I pray that your partnership with us,
partnership,
and your faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ.
Okay. Amen. Somebody else, just another, if you have another translation, I just want to see how it reads.
Mine says, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith. So that
active. Okay. Okay, do you see how we just had three different translations, right? Three, and you can go through and there's tons. This verse is just a difficult verse to translate. So I'm saying all that to say that I can't be dogmatic on how to fully explain this verse. I'm not going to say, well, I got 100% right. If you explain it another way, you got it wrong. I can't do that, because just looking at the various translation of this verse, and the word is often leading the translation is the word koinonia here, which is translated as fellowship. So this word koinonia, which is translated as fellowship in my Bible, and partnership in Fernie's Bible, and active in Mom's Bible, or sharing, I think, in her Bible, active. That word is rich. See, the Greek language is very deep. Our English language is shallow. We have a ton of different words, right? You can use many different words to describe many different things. But in the Greek language, they may have one word that is so deep with so many different meanings. So their words, their vocabulary, their language has a lot of depth to it. So this word, fellowship, or koinonia, in the New Testament, alone, it's translated as fellowship, as we just read here. It can be translated as partnership, as Fernie just said. It's translated as sharing. That's another way you will see it translated. Generosity is translated that way. It's also translated as contribution, and it's also translated as communion, like when we share in communion with the Lord. That's the same word, right? So that word is deep. It's translated in many different ways, and really you can categorize the various ways that it's translated into three different categories. And yeah, I know we're getting a little technical here, but you'll get while we're going there. So this word can be put into three different categories. So one type of category or use of this word is the relational use, relational fellowship. It's kind of like what we're doing here. We are right now in fellowship with one another. We're here believing the same thing. We're worshiping the same God. We're coming together in fellowship. This is what you see how the word is used in Acts 2, 42, when it says they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, koinonia. They were together. They had all things in common. So there's a relational use of this word koinonia that we see here. There's also a sacramental use of this word koinonia. It's the word, as I just mentioned, communion. So when you read in 1 Corinthians 10:16, it talks about sharing in the body and blood of Jesus, what we're going to do over there. It's using that same Greek word, koinonia, but it's just talking about sharing in the body and blood of Jesus. So it's used as a sacramental use there. And another use of how it's used is used in a financial or material sense. That's how the term is used. So Paul uses this term koinonia in Romans 15:26 to describe the financial offerings or contributions that the Macedonians are going to give the poor saints in Jerusalem. So it's used there to describe someone's generosity or giving. It's all the same word, and that's why this verse has so many different translations, right? Now, because Philemon is understood to be a wealthy man, and he was understood to be a wealthy man, one, because he had a house big enough to have a house church in, which many people didn't, so that's saying that he had some wealth. And then also, he had servants or slaves, so he had some wealth there. And I believe, and some other commentators believe, that it's the financial aspect of this word that has been expressed here when Paul is saying that I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective. So Paul is talking about how he has heard of Philemon's love for the saints and how he has refreshed the heart of the saints. One way that I believe and other commentators believe that he has refreshed the heart of the saints is through his financial contributions, how he's helped the saints materially or financially. So that's how I understand that Paul is understanding Philemon's love and how Philemon is a fellow worker in the kingdom of God. It's through his financial contributions to the saints. Again, opening up his home, helping the saints maybe financially and materially with things that they need. And Paul is addressing that in his prayer. Now, let me get kind of to the meat of this prayer, to the place where I really want us to go, where I think you really can't miss this point. So, in this prayer, Paul is one, he's acknowledging that Philemon is potentially a giver. Maybe it's a spiritual gift, I don't know. But he's recognizing that Philemon is a giver, but he doesn't just stop there with his giving. He's praying for something else for Philemon in this verse. He's praying that this giving that Philemon is doing that is actually going to lead to some knowledge of something about God. I want you to see that. That's what he's saying. So in my translation, it says, I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective. That word effective can also mean active or productive or fruitful. So he's praying that as Paul or as Philemon is giving and using his generosity to help the saints, he's praying that this generosity will lead to some unveiling of something deeper. And that deeper thing that he's praying that Philemon understands is all that we have in Christ Jesus. That is his ultimate goal of his prayer. He's praying that Philemon, through his generosity, through his giving, that as he's doing that, God will begin to unveil and help him to see that all that he has in Christ Jesus, that is his. So he wants Philemon to know something about God. He wants him to understand what the riches that he has in Christ. And so he's praying that through this offering, through his giving, through him using his material things, that as he's giving and sowing into the kingdom of God, that God is actually at the same time helping him to understand all of the riches that he truly has in Christ. It kind of reminds me of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 34 and 35. So in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 34 through 35, the writer of Hebrews says this about these Hebrews. He says this. I want to get you to this point here. He says, for you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one. So the Hebrews here, they had property, they had wealth, and they were being persecuted because they were Christians, and they ended up losing their health and losing their wealth, but they weren't bothered by the losing of their wealth. Why? Because they knew that they had deeper riches. They knew they had these eternal riches in God, and so they can allow themselves to joyfully depart from those things because they knew that they had something so much greater. That is the same understanding that Paul here is praying for Philemon. He wants Philemon to understand the riches that he truly has in Christ. He wants him to understand that, yes, while you're giving out, I'm also hoping that God is showing you how rich you really are, how much you really have in Christ. And so that is his ultimate prayer, is for Philemon to get this deep spiritual understanding of all that we have, all that is ours as believers in Christ Jesus. That's his prayer, and that is what he's praying for Philemon. Now, there's something that I notice when I look at Paul's prayer here for Philemon, and I look at Paul's prayer in other places in the New Testament. What I notice is that there's a pattern in the way that the Apostle Paul prays. Again, there is a pattern in the way that the Apostle Paul prays when he's praying for the recipients of his letters. What I'm seeing when I, and I'll show you this, when I look at Paul's letters, what I'm noticing that he's often praying for the recipients of his letters to receive some deeper understanding of the things of God. That is one of his main prayer points. One of his main prayer points is that the person that he is writing to gets some type of supernatural understanding of something about God. He wants Philemon to understand all that he has in God. And he could just tell Philemon and he could try to just preach it to him. But he wants God to give him like this supernatural understanding so that he can fully understand that all that he has in Christ Jesus. It's not like Philemon, just go read your Bible more, just go study more. Yes, you can do all those things. But Paul is pleading and wanting God to give him some deeper understanding of all of the riches that he now has in Christ. And I notice that Paul does that in many of his letters. In many of his letters, he's constantly praying that his recipients get some super deep spiritual revelation, revealing of God in many of the places of his letters where he's writing to the believers in the church. That's what he's saying. And so I want to show you this in the scripture so that you can see this and so that it'll change the way that you pray and what you pray for so that you can begin to pray for the things that the Apostle Paul or you're praying the scriptures and that you can begin to get some of the fruit of the things that he's praying. So what I want to take you to here is go with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Now we're going to start diving through this so you can see this pattern that hopefully you see. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. And what you're going to see, I'm going to take you to some other places in Ephesians, but I want you to see this pattern of how he's praying and what he's praying for. Okay. So in Ephesians 1, 17, this is what he prays. He prays that the God of our Lord, matter of fact, here, I just wrote it down, but I want to make sure I'm not missing a part here. Sorry. Let me just turn there. And while I'm turning there, you can read it and maybe you'll see it ahead of me. So in Ephesians 1:17, he's praying for the Ephesians, and look what he's praying. He's praying what? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you what? What does he say here? A spirit of wisdom and what? Revelation and what? The knowledge of him. Right? That's what he's praying. He's praying that these Ephesians will get this revelation, this supernatural understanding that God the Father will give you a supernatural understanding of who he really is. See, I can tell you all day about God. I can tell you all about who he is. But ultimately, God has to begin to open our hearts to get a deeper understanding of who he is. And so that is what Paul is praying. He's like, Paul, I could tell you all about God. And he does that in his letters. But Paul understands that ultimately, God has to bring this revealing to you. He has to go and open up your heart so that you can really see him and behold him. And so that is why he's praying this for the Ephesians. He's praying that God will give them this deep revelation, this deep epignosis. Epignosis in Greek means knowledge. He wants them to have this deep epignosis of who God is. And Paul said, I can't do that myself, but I'm praying that God will do it in you. He'll provide you this supernatural understanding, this revelation of who he is, so that you will get it. And since that's what's happened to many of us, because many of us, we went to church many times and we heard preachers preach, we heard people talk, and it went in one ear out the other. But there was one time, one day, when you heard that same message, and guess what happened? All of a sudden, you got it. God opened your eyes, you opened your understanding, and you begin to see him and behold him. That is what Paul is talking about. That's not just a one-time thing that happens when you become a believer, but no, we want God to constantly, forever, keep revealing and keep opening our eyes and taking us deeper and deeper to knowing him and understanding him. So that is what Paul is praying there. He's praying for this deep knowledge, this deep understanding. That's the same thing he was praying for Philemon, that you would have this deep knowledge, this deep understanding of all that is ours in Christ. That's what he prays. It's not just something that you can just get just through just reading per se. You need God revealing, God doing some, God opening your eyes. And so that is his prayer. And that's something that I'm asking you. Pray that prayer. Pray that prayer for yourself. Pray that prayer for your wife, your kids, that God will just bring this wisdom and revelation and understanding in who he is. Let that be a part of your prayer. Now, the next thing that he prays in this same book, look at verse 18. He prays that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened to know the hope of his calling. And if you keep going there, he says he prays it for the eyes of your heart to be enlightened so that you would know the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us? That's three different things, even really four, that he's constantly praying where these believers will get this knowledge, this understanding. It's not that he can just give it to you. He understands that it has to be a supernatural work of God doing this thing. So what does he do? He prays for it. It's not like I can just say, just go read about it. Just go read Christian material. No, I need to pray that God will reveal, that God will show you, that he will enlighten the eyes of your heart so that you would know the hope of his calling or the riches of his inheritance that he has in the saints. He said that God needs to supernaturally, spiritually reveal that to you. So I'm praying that for you, Ephesians. I'm praying that you will see and behold these things. That's how we pray, saints. You want to pray about these things. You want to pray that you can, that your eyes can be enlightened so that you can really understand it and get it. That's why I mentioned when I'm singing a song this morning, the Holy Spirit just began to enlighten my eyes on just certain words. And I'm just like, whoa, God, I get it. I'm seeing it. That's God. That's not just words. That's Holy Spirit going in and speaking with my spirit and just allow me to behold and see. That is what he's praying here. It's not just going to come just by your own effort. You're going to need a supernatural, spiritual work of God to understand these things. So this is what he's praying. He's praying for this special knowledge, this special understanding. Same thing we see in Philemon. It's actually the same Greek word, epinosis, for knowledge that's being used here. He wants them to get it. And he said, I can't just preach it to you. I can't just teach it to you. Yes, I can do those things, but ultimately I need God to reveal it to you. See, we teach, but God reveals. I can teach, but I need God to reveal. Paul teaches through here, but we need God to reveal and open your eyes to, for you to see and behold. That's why he's praying these things. He can teach it all day, but for you to behold it and see the glory in it, he's like, I'm praying for God to let you see these things. I want you to see it. I can't make you see it. I need a revealing to happen. So that is what he is praying. And if you keep going there in Ephesians, the same book, you go over to chapter 3, verse 14 through 19. I'm just, for the sake of time, I'll just keep going. Matter of fact, we're actually good with time. We only have like another page. But Ephesians 3, 14 through 19, let's just read it since we do have some time. These are all things that I know I've already preached through here in Ephesians, but as I told you, I'm beating the same drum because God puts this burden on my heart, and I so want the saints to be praying these things. All right? So he says here in Ephesians 3, 14, look at this prayer here. He says, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, and from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives his name. Look what he's asking as he bows his knees before the Father. He's saying, I'm praying to the Father that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, want to be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner man, so that Christ will dwell in your heart through faith. So that's his first prayer. I'm praying that he will strengthen your inner person so that Christ will dwell in your heart through faith. Why? Because this inner person gets beat down and gets tired. So I'm praying that he strengthens this inner person so that your faith is strong and that Christ will dwell there in your heart. That's his first prayer. And then look what he says. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. So he's praying that they would be able to comprehend and know the love of Christ. Well, Paul, why don't you just tell them the love of Christ? Well, he does do that in his words, but guess what? Words can only go so far. He's praying for supernatural revealing that you will be able to comprehend something that's almost incomprehensible. Where the love of Christ, really? That's why he said, I'm praying that you can get this. So that's what he's praying for, this comprehension, this understanding. He's praying for something that goes beyond words. It goes beyond something that enters into our prefrontal cortex. You can tell I've been studying the brain and the mind, right? Your prefrontal cortex is where you gather all this information. Paul is trying to bypass that. He's praying for something that goes beyond just mere information. As a matter of fact, to borrow a word from Francis Chan to me that really explains it, what Paul here is doing, he's praying that this understanding will be downloaded in your spirit to where you just get it, where it's going beyond the prefrontal cortex, where it's just really being downloaded into your spirit, where you just understand it, where you just get it, like where you have, like I said, where you're just reading the lyrics off of the screen, and all of a sudden, I'm just like, okay, God, I see. That's not me. That's just God in the spirit just moving and doing something in me. That is what Paul is praying here. He's praying for a downloading, if you will, of God's love, the understanding of who he is in your spirit to where you get it. Yes, I heard a preacher talk it and teach it, but I didn't get it. It was only until God really opened my eyes and put it in there where I understood what he was saying. That comes through prayer, saints. That's what I'm saying. What are you praying about? This is what you want to pray. You want to pray the scriptures. You want to pray like you see people in the scriptures. And these are the things that the Apostle Paul is praying about. He's praying that it's just put inside of you, poured inside of you. And that you get it. And if you think this is just me using a cute phrase, I want to show you where you just really see this worked out. Go with me to Romans 5:5. And I'll show you how the Holy Spirit downloads it in our spirit, to use a modern term. Are we here at Romans 5:5? Romans 5:5. Look what happens here. Tell me if you see some downloading. Romans 5:5 says, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God, what has happened? Has been poured out within our hearts by what? Through the Holy Spirit, which was given to us. See, I can tell you about the love of God all day. I can write movies about it. I can sing songs to you about it. I can do a play about it. I can make a video game about it. But for you to understand the love of God, you know what has to happen first? Guess what has to happen first? The Holy Spirit has to come and dump that love inside of your heart. He has to come and download that inside of your heart to where you really get it. He has to go and take that John 3:16, God so loved the world, and just begin to pour that into your heart to where you understand it, where you're like, oh, God loves me. He loves me. Oh, my God, he's in love with me. That doesn't just come just through reading. That comes through a downloading of the Holy Spirit, pouring it inside of your spirit to where you get it and you understand it. You can't force that. The Holy Spirit does the revealing. We can just pray and ask God to do it, but it's the Holy Spirit that's doing this supernatural work where you understand the love of God. The reason, saints, you understand the love of God because the Holy Spirit went and just dumped it inside of your heart. Before, it was just words. It was just a cute little bumper sticker. Oh, yeah, God so loved the world. Yeah, people know that verse, but it took the Holy Spirit coming and pouring the love of God to where you understood, and you're like, oh, he loves me. He gave his son for me. I'm his beloved. Love that came from the Holy Spirit dumping that love inside of you. It's not you. You need a work of the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit that God pours inside of us where he brings the revealing. That same revealing that Paul was talking about to Philemon, where he wants him to really know all that is ours in Christ. That's why he's praying it, because it's not something that he can just humanly reveal. It's going to be a work of God. And we see the agent that God uses to bring that revealing is the Holy Spirit. So that is what you should be praying, saints. praying for the Spirit's revealing. Let me just give you another verse. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7 through 10. Chapter 2. I'm just trying to point out the Holy Spirit again is the one that's the Father's using to bring this revealing, to bring this epignosis, this knowledge that Paul is praying about. Okay. So it reads here. I'm starting verse 7. This is Paul talking about the rulers of this world, how they crucified the Messiah, and why, and what we have now. He says this, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery. This is the Apostle Paul talking about him and his ministry. The hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. The wisdom which none of the rulers of this age understood. For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If they would have known it, they would have had God's wisdom, that supernatural understanding of what God was doing, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory, he says. He says, but just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard and which has not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us God revealed it. For to us God revealed them through what? The Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. My point in there is showing you that it's the Spirit that does that revealing. It's the Spirit that brings us to that deeper understanding of all that we have in Christ, of the power that is directed towards us, so that we can grow in our understanding of God, so that we can understand the inheritance that we have from God. It's the Spirit that comes and brings that revealing. This is very similar to what Jesus says in John 16, 13 and 14, where he says this, but when he, talking about the Spirit comes, the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. Again, that is the Spirit. That is what we see from Jesus. That is what we see in Paul. He's wanting a supernatural, Spirit-led revealing and understanding. And he's praying that that happens to the recipients of his letter. That is how he prays. Again, we teach God reveals. How does God reveal? He reveals through his Spirit. That is what we should be praying more to God, to open our eyes, Lord, help us to see. Holy Spirit, open my eyes to understand all that you have for me. Open my eyes to understand your love for me. Open my eyes to see all the inheritance that I have now in you. Open my eyes to understand the kingdom of God to come. That is how we should be praying, because that is how the Apostle Paul prays. Those should be your prayer points, saints. In addition to all the other things you're praying, pray like this. Ask God to reveal and show you these things. Because if you're not seeing these things, saints, if you're not fully understanding all that you have in Christ, if you're not seeing the kingdom of God and the things that you have to come, guess what? This Christian life is going to get boring really fast. You have to constantly be seeing and beholding and understanding all the beautiful things of the Lord, all the things that he's done. You want your heart to constantly be going deep into the love of God and ask him just to show me more, bring me closer to your heart where you're pleading on a regular, God, just take me deeper. What do you plead for in your prayers, saints? Is it material things? What is it? Or is it these things? These are the things that we should be pleading for. That's really my whole point in this, is to get you to fall on your knees and plead for a deeper epignosis, a deeper knowledge of God, a deeper understanding of his love, a deeper understanding of the gospel. You have to pray and ask these things. I can't just teach it to you. I can give you the words, but the Holy Spirit has to do the revealing, and that comes from us praying on our knees. That comes from us fasting and just asking God to show me more. I'm not knocking on the door. God, I just want to know you more. I just want to know your heart more. That's how we pray, saints. These are the things that have to be at top of our prayer list. This is how Paul prays for the saints. I just gave you Ephesians, but you can also go to Colossians and watch. He does the same thing there. He's praying that they get this knowledge and understanding. That's how he prays. That's how we should be praying, saints. Stop being content with this world. Stop being content with entertainment. Ask God to help you become obsessed with just knowing him and going deeper in him to where, again, where you're just pleading on a daily, God, to take me deeper. Help me to see your glory in the word, Lord. Just help me do it, God. That's what we want. That's how we want to pray. We want God to give us supernatural understanding and insights so that we can behold him and see him. And he can do it in whatever means he wants. He can do it from a song. We've seen in scripture, he gives people visions and dreams. However he's going to reveal, God, just help me to go deeper with you. I want more of you. I want the things that I see the Apostle Paul praying for. Let's let that be our prayer, saints. So from Philemon to Ephesians to Colossians to 1 Corinthians to Jesus, you're seeing this continuity of the Spirit revealing, of people pleading and asking God to reveal and show. That's what we have to do, saints. That's how our prayer life should look more like that. So I'm pushing back and challenge you to look at your prayer life and really challenge yourself for the things you're constantly going to the throne of grace for. Do they include some of the things that we went through in here? That's what I'm asking. Do they include some of the things that the thing that we looked at in Philemon 1:6, where he's praying for an acknowledgement of all that is ours in Christ? Some translations will say all that is in you in Christ. It's just different translations, but that's my hope, saints. And that's my challenge to you this morning. Pray. Pray these things. Get on your face. Plead. Spend time. Forget other things. Spend time just pleading to the Lord, crying out, saying, I want you. Help me to become obsessed with you, God. Spend our time doing that. Amen. Amen. All right. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word, God. I pray that you just stir a desire, an obsession inside my brothers and sisters here this morning, God. Oh, Lord, that they would super just desire more of you, more understanding, Lord. That they would just be filled with the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, God. Oh, God, that they would understand the power that has raised them and given them new life, that power that is currently on them right now. God, help them to see the power, Lord. That same power that gave them a new mind is on them right now. God, help them to just behold and give you glory for what you have done and the power that you have placed upon them, God. Help them to go deeper in understanding the inheritance that you have for us, Lord Jesus. Help us to spiritually appraise it, God, to see it and to want it more than any other thing, God, to be willing to get rid of our earthly material riches, Lord, because we have the riches that only you can provide, the true riches, God. Help them to see that, God. Help them to acknowledge all that you have put inside of them for your sake and for your glory, Lord God. Help them to see, Lord, you have blessed us with all spiritual things in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, God. Help them to begin to understand more of what that means, God. Go beyond words, God. Go and just implant it inside of their spirit, Lord God, so that they can behold it and see it, Lord. Holy Spirit, do the revealing work, Lord. When they open their scripture, Holy Spirit, reveal glory. Reveal, Lord, your glory, God. Reveal, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.